Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest has been called one of the leaders of the next generation of hip-hop. And that's not me talking. That's a quote. That's a direct quote from Chicagoan Lupe Fiasco. And we're talking about the Chicago musician and artist, The Boy, Illinois.
Downtown, yeah. Flipping on my way. Flipping on my way. Flipping on my way. Downtown, yeah. I be flipping on my way. Flipping on my way. Flipping on my way. Downtown, yeah. You know I'm gonna make a way. Flipping on my way. Flipping on my way. Downtown, yeah. You know I'm gonna make a way. Flipping on my way. Sippin' on my way downtown, yeah. Illy, I be moving for the day. Try to make a play, try to make a couple K downtown, yeah. Had a homie who sold, bag it, let it go, but never sold it to his folks downtown, yeah. I make driving for the stretch. Used to work the front desk at Holiday Inn Express. Cause when you do illegal, gotta keep a legal check. Yeah. Never in public, again, this ain't CBS downtown, yeah.
The Boy, Illinois, also known as Illy, hails from the east side of Chicago. He's been turning heads with his lyrics and production since he came on the scene back in 2013. He's toured a couple times with Lupe. Now he's back in town just in time to release a couple new tracks, including the one we just heard, Downtown, featuring YP. If you read his SoundCloud page description, this is what he says. He says, this is an art form from an artist. Visual imagery through audio. An ill-thought process in a suit. Flaming Hots and Penny Loafers. If you're from the crib, you get it. If not, just listen. The Boy, Illinois, joins us in studio now. Illy, thanks for being here.
I appreciate it. That was such a great intro. Such a great intro.
Well, dope. I mean, it's interesting because going back through your SoundCloud page and listening to your stuff, I really wanted to get at the evolution of your music.
Yeah.
But when I listen to all the stuff, it sounds everything from 2013, 14, 15. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's much evolution. It's just it's all banging.
It's a little small, little adjustments within it, you know, from production to the mixing and mastering process. But a lot of my earlier stuff, like I was saying, telling you earlier before we hopped on, was I deleted a lot of my older work. You know,
so just got rid of it.
Yeah, got rid of it. You know, I had a talk with my big bro Malik Youssef, shout out to him, about controlling your own narrative, especially being in this day and age of independence where you control your own story and you have your Instagram and your Twitter and you can get out whatever story and people can hear your side immediately. So with that being said, I said, you know what? All right. So a lot of these people who's new, who wasn't hit back then, they're only going to know me from this point to this point. They don't need to know. They don't need to go
That's
back.
That's so
that
interesting
far.
Too, because the internet's strengths have been that you can go back and listen to early stuff, or you don't have to necessarily, you know, just have the CD that's in front of you or that's in the record
definitely.
Store. But there is something to the idea of self-selection.
It's all about perception. Even with Instagram, a lot of artists, even myself, at one point started it completely over. Because it's just the point where, you know, out of sight, out of mind, especially with this day and age and this microwave, you know, everybody needs something immediate. So with that being said, I take all that older stuff and be like, well, that doesn't exist. You guys only need to know me from 2017, really, until today.
That's
and then when next year happens, I'm probably going to refresh it again because I can.
Probably
you know?
Is smart for everybody if you think about it, just after we
it
see
really
it.
It really is.
With everybody
really
going
is.
Back and reading old tweets and Instagram.
Exactly.
It just
it's
gets you in
really
trouble,
just
right?
Start off fresh, guys. It's telling you.
You know, I mentioned Lupe Fiasco, and you've toured on a couple of the three or four of the last tours with Lupe Fiasco. Talk about that experience and how that has changed your music, being in a national spotlight, going from town to town, and living in close quarters with an artist like Lupe.
It changed a lot. Number one thing is stage presence and performance. You learn a lot. Engaging with people and people who are not engaged, getting them to engage, it's a tough spot, especially when you're the opener and nobody knows your music, know who you are, and they're here to see Lupe, and they like diehard Lupe fans, like, bring Lupe up. No, I had that once or twice, but I had to check them like, yo, I've been working hard to get this position. You're going to be quiet. And let me perform. You know what I'm saying? So number one is stage presence. Number two is having music that is stage ready. Like not all music is for a performance, and especially to match the level of the performer that you're on tour with. So you got to make sure that your music.
How do you go about doing that? Because I'm assuming it's trial and error.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's it could be 30 shows. Maybe like the first five, I'll go through five different sets. and see which one rocks the best. And then from that on, it's just repetition. It's the same thing over and over.
Do you think about when you're creating the music, when you're writing and you're producing the music, do you think about how it's going to be performed? I mean,
definitely.
Is there, yeah, there's...
The first thing as an artist is the visual, like videos. I like videos a lot. So even if it's not a video, you want to know or get into that mind frame of when somebody's hearing this, what are they visualizing? What is the most? So I kind of break myself down when I'm writing to a fan aspect. Like, all right, if I'm the average fan and I don't have knowledge of so maybe I'm making a reference to something. Like, maybe if they don't have that knowledge of that, maybe I can slide something else in that'll get them to join the level that I'm on.
Yeah.
So it's a ill thought process in a
suit. There you go. I mean, that was as we kind of go down your SoundCloud description. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, you've created. Let's talk about your persona. I mean, the boy Illinois and Illy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're one and the same.
Definitely.
But talk about what are you going with? What's your image? What's your description? I mean, you say in the thing, Flaming Hots and Penny Loafers.
Yeah, it's a mix of both worlds. Cause I was raised over east in the South Shore area and in the South Suburbs. But the trick thingy was like when I was raised in the South Suburbs, that's when all the inner city people, we joined the middle class and we came and brought the money there, but the attitudes and everything was still the same.
Mm-hmm.
But you still got to see things from two parallels. So I got to see things from going to Catholic school. You know, it was predominantly white school. So you know how to move around and maneuver certain different classes or different races and understand it from both sides. So that's the Flaming Hots and the Penny Loafers. So it's like I understand both parallels.
How does that help you as a musician? I mean, when you think about the influences of how you grew up on what you're producing.
A lot.
How does it manifest itself?
A lot. I would say just seeing how other artists respond and react to certain things that I know that I would never do or respond and react a certain way because of the understanding of where it's coming from and the reaction. One thing told to me by Elder is when you're emotional, you're not thinking. And when you're thinking, you're not emotional. So I try not to get emotional. And I try to think things out and have an understanding and an overstanding of things and then approach it like that.
So it sometimes can just boil down to how you respond to just simple
character,
conflicts.
Simple character traits, really. You know, like how I came up built me a certain way to see things a certain way.
It's interesting because I listen to the music and I love the Chicago stuff and the Chicago references, and there's everything in there. But you know, also you follow you on Instagram and Twitter. You do have political views.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
you,
definitely.
You share those political views in the music as well. Mm. But not it's not overt. It's not something where you're.
But that's
you're,
another thing about the older stuff. It used to be.
It used to be.
And I dumbed it down.
My
pops used to tell me one of my favorite groups. He put me on Steely Dan. He used to say that they used to say a lot without saying a lot. So he was like, you really got to cut down what you're saying, but still say the same thing, just package it a different way. And that's the challenge for an artist, is the packaging. It's like we have what we want to say, but it's how do we package it and deliver it to the people so that it's coherent enough that you can get it on a large platform and everybody can probably get it. Maybe not everyone, but a large majority.
We're talking with Illy, the boy Illinois. He is a hip-hop artist here from Chicago. Grew up on the east side of Chicago in the south suburbs. You can find his stuff at SoundCloud. He's put out a couple albums, but his latest is a couple of tracks that are on SoundCloud, Downtown featuring YP, which we played in the intro. There has been so much put on artists to deliver the message of resist or to address the political climate that we're in today.
Definitely.
Do you feel the pressure as an artist, as a hip-hop artist especially, to rap, to write music about the climate that we're in?
Well, first of all, I come from a militant background. My dad was in Vietnam, and he went over there, and he realized, like, why are we even over here? And he came back kind of different-minded, and he's been militant ever since then. It's just been passed on through the DNA. My grandfather is a Haitian refugee. I definitely feel the need just because of how I grew up and knowing certain things. And you cannot, you know, if I see a wrongdoing, I feel like the need to speak on it. That's how I've always been, from my pops taking me to feed the homeless on Lower Wacker when I was like 5, 6 years old to now me being involved in, shout-out to BASA, Barbara A. Sizemore Academy. I'm in at school largely. Shout out to all my 7th and 8th graders who I watch closely. The CPS tried to shut them down last year on some phony stuff, and they stayed true and they open right now. So I definitely feel the need. I feel like if you have a platform, you got it, you either using it for good or for bad, one or the other.
You know, Chicago hip-hop has become a national trend. I mean, we saw what happened with Chance at the Grammys.
Definitely.
But you also, I mean, you think about everything that's happened with Chance, and you think about the commercial success of some of the artists that are in the drill scene that are from the south side of Chicago, west side of Chicago. Where do you see yourself? I mean, Lupe's always been someone who has been part of that conscious rap scene. Where do you fit in when it comes to not just the present time, but the history of the Chicago rap scene?
I'm interesting because I'm in between, and you can definitely tell I'm in between. Like, from prior videos, you might see me around my old neighborhoods or my old friends who still dibble and dabble in the streets, or then I'll be around pyramids and things of that nature. So it's clearly to see that I'm in between both. But I think the beautiful thing about Chicago artists, other than maybe a couple drill artists here and there, not the prominent ones, nobody sounds the same. From the Common to the Kanye to the Twista to the Lupe to the Chance. Now, one of them you can hear and be like, man, that sound like him.
So what unites them as Chicagoans? What is it that makes them the Chicago sound?
I wouldn't say it's a sound per se. It's a vibe and it's a lingo that you automatically know, like, are they from? Like if Boston people knew who's from Boston just from the accent and the way they speak and certain things, you get it. You know, be like, I can watch a video. I saw Mick Jenkins' video, his first video. I forgot the name of it. Didn't know where he was from. I was like, he looks like he's from Chicago. This whole vibe looks, it's Chicago. And lo and behold, Chicago. I don't know. It's just something about us that we can tell who our people are.
You know, I have a lot of artists in, a lot of hip-hop artists will come on the show, and we try to break down what it is that makes them uniquely Chicago, beyond just being from here. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that comes out, and it's evident in your career and your work as well, is hustle.
Yeah.
The idea that everyone is trying to make something independent of other people. They're aspiring for something, and there's a drive.
Yeah, it's definitely that. I mean, it definitely comes from an environment that you come up in where you know, the odds are stacked against you from the school to the food to the mandatory minimums and all type of things. Everything's against you. So it's like we learn early that nobody's going to help you. So a lot of the people that's in those inner city communities, like who the president is, doesn't matter to them. It never mattered because nothing has changed. Everything's been a consistent thing. So it's like we got to save ourselves. And from that, we rise and we have great achievements.
As someone who goes on the radio every night and talks about the social ills of Chicago, and namely things that I'm not familiar with, and then you hear the President of the United States using Chicago in derogatory terms and everything about Chicago violence sort of percolating to a national storyline. Talk about that. How does that make you feel when
it's gangster.
A lot of other people are talking about
it? It's gangster because I'm going to tell you why it's gangster, because there's money in it. And it's not money for us, though. You know, it's money for, like, stations that's broadcasting talking about it. Is money for put money in, oh, we got to send extra feds here because the feds are already here. But that's money you got to pay them. That's money, but you're not putting money into the school systems, to the communities. It's a lot of abandoned buildings in the hood that can be after school centers, all the carpentry, all the trade things, all the trade schools is closed, mental health facilities is closed. So it's like, you know, it's gangster. You know, I look at it like if I was on their side, and I was as evil as the other side was, I would do the same thing they're doing, you know?
For you, for someone who grew up in South Shore, also went to Catholic school in the South Suburbs, what do you think that this is being missed? When we talk about the story of life of young black men who are coming up in Chicago, in the suburbs or here in Chicago.
It's the basic foundation. Everybody's talking about the branches and the leaves, but nobody's talking about the root of the problem. So if you raise a child in an environment where he has no role models, no positive role models, doesn't have a good school, doesn't have good food, doesn't have any guidance whatsoever, what do you expect him to be and grow up to be? Nothing, because you gave him nothing. That's mathematically correct, but we know it's certain people who slip through the hole and you know, they go to college and they go off and be entrepreneurs, but it ain't a lot of us when you're talking about the vast majority. So at the basic root foundation of it is a basic family structure, really, and getting back to that. But there's been a dismantling of that through certain government programs and things of that nature. So it's really just the basic family structure. That's it, because a lot of us don't have that at all. And a lot of people, I went to a juvie. I spoke there last year. A lot of kids never in their life heard somebody say, I love you. And that means a lot. And a lot of us take that for granted. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
That's really some real right there.
you know, for you as a musician, as a hip hop artist, who is, you know, having success, you know, and to be in a position where you're on tour and you're going around the country with Lupe Fiasco, are you at the point in your life already? And you talked about it already with going to juvie or going to mentoring seventh and eighth graders, that you're already at the point where you need to give back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because people like those seven, eight, even though I know I'm not as popular as other artists, they think I'm super popular, and they look up.
But you still got a long way to go.
It's a long way to go, but it's I'm setting the foundation so that when I become a chance on that global level, you know what I'm saying, I can do a heck of a lot more than I'm doing now, and that's gonna be and that's really where I get the joy from, is to give back to people. Like, I'll be on tour and I invite somebody like, man, you know, I'm one of my homies. I know you a Lupe fan, so come through the show. I got you. You know what I'm saying? And just to have them there, like, man, you doing something, man. It's just like, man, I'm just happy to see you happy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that for me.
Well, we definitely want to get you back in studio, do some performance.
Oh, I would definitely come in. Do that. I mean,
it's a pleasure to meet you. The Boy Illinois, Illy in studio. You can check out his new track, Downtown, featuring YP on SoundCloud. Thanks so much for coming in. I
appreciate you all. It's a pleasure, and I'm just fortunate enough to share my gift with the world.